Hi, this is Joachim Kanz, the singer of Hammerfall, and you're watching CMS TV.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Chris Aiken Presents, the first episode of Chris Aiken Presents for 2024. Cannot believe it is that old already, but here we are, 2024. It's me, Chris Aiken, and that dude over there, the one, the only, Mr. Eric Ferrantinos. Eric, how are you, sir?
I'm pumped, Chris. I'm pumped. What do you think of the new theme, my friend?
I love it, dude. It's I'm sure people were tuned in a minute ago and didn't know what they tuned into. They were like, where's that cheesy, shitty music that we had before?
Now, a little backstory on the Chris Aiken music. Tell them how you came across the original music that's been on the show for a year.
I found it on YouTube. It was a YouTube. YouTube has like a free audio library that you can use, and I just went through a few of them until I found one. I'm not particular about that stuff. You're way more particular about that stuff. I just found, I actually had one before the one that you know that that was really bad, and my friend John hit me up one day and he's like, what are you doing a professional show with that local band shit? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, your fucking intro sounds like a local band. So then I moved to the one that we used for the last year, which was better, but it was better than a local band.
It was better than a local band. I mean, it was that certain kind of music, but it was just very heavy and, you know, but the classic metal show, you would expect that genre of music, which I understand. So, and I got used to hearing the old one.
Yeah.
Now, I certainly didn't want people to think that that was me playing or something like that, or one of like my music. So we always kicked around, you know, a theme, and you know, I BS sometimes too, and I'm like, hey, I'll do a theme for the show. Like, I really had no idea what I was going to do for that, and I know it's a very important thing.
Sure.
You know, the theme of the show.
And let's be honest. You mentioned it what, 5 months ago or something?
Right.
And I was like, hey, cool, go ahead. You know, I was like, whatever, go ahead. You know, I never was like, well, here's my creative idea. You know, I don't have any creative ideas. So I
started. Well, I'm supposed to be the professional musician. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, well, what do you got? And then I just was, I also have the problem of overthinking things.
Sure.
As well. And I'm like, oh, like, and I know I have tons of music ideas and such. And then I started thinking I was going to use this one track, but it was more of my Nine Inch Nails type background, and it just wouldn't suit the show. I realized, you know what? They're not going to like this. They're not going to like all these synthesizers and goofy stuff. They're going to want something more metal. And so this has been a problem for me to come up, think of what I was going to do. And I certainly didn't have anything that was coming up out of me to do out of scratch. But anyways, I went through my iTunes recently, and I found this project that I was working on probably about 5 years ago, and it was with members of Asphalt Ballet. Our listeners that remember that band, great band. If you've never heard of them, go to YouTube, Asphalt Ballet. They were originally a San Diego band that got signed to Virgin Records, I believe. Put out a couple videos, and then unfortunately the singer quit the band, and it kind of, they lost their record deal within a couple records, and that was it. They did have a few videos on MTV, but they were awesome. Those guys ended up starting a heavy band here in San Diego called 13A, and that was where I came in probably in the late 90s, 98 or 9. And we did, I did that band with them for about 3 years. And about 5 years ago, we decided to all get back together again and try something new. So we were trying to put this band together. It was me, Julius Ulrich, and Mike Kiner, which was the guitarist and drummer from Asphalt. And now Jay, Julius, we call him Jay, was singing and playing guitar. And we were writing ideas for this. And we had about five songs. The studio we were playing down, Mike had a studio at. It was, we weren't getting the best sounds there, you know, right. and the project was starting to take a long time as far as like getting at least the demo going so we could like get out and start promoting it. Like,
sure.
I think that there was a problem there in that department that was prolonging things, and also naming the band.
Right.
Okay. Now I came up with a name that I really like. It was called Drag Vault.
Drag Vault? V-A-U-L-T? Oh, V-O-L-T. No. Like a lightning bolt.
Right, right. Drag Vault. Okay. Which in my mind, I'm thinking, I pictured like when you were a kid and you were on the carpet and with your socks or whatever, and you rub back and forth and then you shock somebody. Like,
yeah.
like that's right. What I'm picturing, or like at the least like a drag racing reference or something.
Sure,
you know what I mean. And the vault, and I liked the look of it. I was in my mind picturing a two syllable word, something that I would look good on a shirt, something like,
right,
you know, Danzig Drag Vault, you know, like, yeah. Like in my all mind, right. That's where I'm going, and I'm like, this is a brilliant name, you know. And
right,
all of a sudden the name's a fucking problem. Like, they didn't like it. And some of them were like, you know, hey, that's like a drag queen, or that's like a drag. Like, this drag. That also, by the way, bums me out. Whenever a community decides to take a word and make it their own.
Make it their own, right?
Yeah. If you're going to make a word, make up your own fucking word. Don't right. take something like drag racing and then screw that up.
Right.
For
sure.
Straight people. You know what I mean? You know, have it, you know. Just call it not drag, just call it fag, you know what?
Yeah,
fag racing. I don't know, right. Do something different, but let us have our own words,
right?
Stop stealing words. So, and I understand where they're coming from, and actually in the last 5 years I feel like drag has really come into the spotlight as being a drag queen thing.
Yeah, sadly. Man, that's what everybody thinks that word means now. Nobody's thinking real long cars with small wheels in the front of it, you know, racing right. 100
or the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones, what a drag it is getting out.
yeah
like I don't know, man. I don't think we should allow that. I think we should take our word back. But anyways, this, I'm just telling you a historical event,
sure,
of what was happening. Now in my defense, they weren't coming up with any better names,
right?
Okay. I'm a, you know, he said to me, let's call the band Fuck.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, how about, hey, we don't ever want to sell records ever, let's right. just name our band Fuck. Okay, perfect. So how mean, well it worked for Anal Cunt, so you know, why not how about Fuck a Rotten Pussy too? That's a good name.
Whoa, come on, Chris, this is a children's show.
Sorry.
I still think Drag Vault's a cool name, and until they come up with something better, in my mind, I'm still calling it that. Like in my music file, it says Drag Vault. We have these songs that are all equally great, I have to tell you, right. And we really should have moved on it because we have another song that was called "Walking with the Dead." Okay. Now this song was fucking great, okay. And sadly, in the delays, a show comes out called "The Walking Dead."
Right.
You know, after my song, I mean, I actually wrote the song in 1998 or nine or something. And then we revitalized it 5 years ago, still like before the show was out or got popular.
Right.
So anyways, that's one of the songs. There's more songs to come.
Okay.
But, revisiting our work, we had this, you know, compiled like five songs that just didn't, to me, in my opinion, it's subjective, you know, music and
right
production and those sort of things, but I was like, this doesn't sound good, that the songs are good, they're just not sounding right, and I need to, like, I could do a better job right here in my studio that I'm developing, you know.
Sure.
So I got back in touch with Jay, and I'm like, look, would you be willing to do this? I think this song would be great for the show. It's a song called Cut Me Out, right? That's, mm-hmm. that's what it was, I think it was. Hold on, let me see. Yes, Cut Me Out. And I thought the lyrics kind of reflected Chris and I's attitude, you know, in a way.
Cut out of society?
Yeah, or we want to be cut out of society, perhaps. Yeah. But just, you know, the lyrics, you know, I drag the floor with the keys to your city. That's pretty.
Right. Nice.
That's a pretty bold statement, but just some of the things, you know, he's a great lyricist, Jay, and he sure. has good ideas, and I do like his voice. So anyways, we finally got together, and I finally delivered him not long ago, I would say like a week ago, this intro song to work right. on, and he did get it back to me, and we had a little bit of a back and forth. Now the deadline was yesterday,
right?
And I worked right up until that deadline. So what's here is what's here. Yeah. So it could have taken months and done it 100 million ways, but it had. That's what deadlines are. It is what it is, and it's now the theme to Chris Aiken Presents. Yeah.
And what's funny is you're such a musician too, because you threw me an email saying, "Oh, I just need 7 or 8 more hours," or whatever the email was. Is I'm going to work on it 6 or 7 more hours or something. Right. And my only response back to you was, "You're such a musician," because that's all of you guys. Every musician I know, you work and work and work and work and work on it, and you get it so into your head that it's never right. You hear it and you do it. You do it 400 times. You're like, "Yeah, but what about this? What about that? And maybe this sure. note could have been better." Whatever. Every musician I know does the same thing, man. It's crazy.
We had there was an original bridge that we had to this song. And when I had sent you the version I had sent to Jay, and you had said, "Hey, this sounds pretty good. We could just use this," which we could have. Yeah. You know, and we're actually not using the whole song. We're only using all together like 45 seconds of the yeah. songs of a 4-minute song.
Right.
So the original bridge was okay. But as I was tracking it, it just was kind of lacking somewhere. Like I felt like it could be a more dramatic thing. So I had spent a few days like revamping it on the drums to be a more trippy 80s kind of sure. techno pop or, you know, thing. And people are not going to hear that till the end of the show, but
right.
I'm talking about our outro.
Right. Sure.
So anyways, I go with this new outro. Then I decide to pull out the Bow Wow Wow amp.
Now, right.
If you ever heard me talk about the little amp that I had to get for the Bow Wow Wow tour, I landed with a Fender Hot Rod Deluxe.
Okay.
Which you can look up that amp. It's over here, but it's not very big at all. But it gets good clean sounds too, and it has amazing reverb. That's its thing. Like amps have their thing. They do, or a guitar has its, a Les Paul has, it does its thing, but a Fender, their reverbs are really good. Okay. So if you're doing any kind of surf music or, you know, rockabilly stuff, it gets really good reverbs for that sort of tonality. Jesus,
that amp costs $1,000.
It was an expensive amp. And at the time I joined that band, which was like the end of 2019, for some reason, maybe because it was Christmas time, there was no used amps around. Like, and I couldn't even find one of these. I think this ended up being a floor model that I got from one of the guitar centers. I mean, it was a do or die situation. And I was not at that time, not even seeing anything on Craigslist or something like that. I could buy used. I was kind of screwed. And I think I ended up paying, about $800 because it was a floor model.
Dude, what? I'm going to try and pull it up here, but it's hard to explain this, but I saw it in action live with you with the Bow Wow Wow show.
Right.
This thing is not much bigger than an old fashioned record player.
Right. It's
I mean, it's small. It's for $1,000. I'm like, holy fuck.
Right. I mean, it's quality though. Fender amps are pretty sought after, some of them. Anyways, so I got inspired when I was like playing with it, I ended up pulling out my Unk guitar that has this kind of Bigsby type whammy bar similar to the Gretsch one. And as I was playing, I was like, fuck, I came up with this kind of trippy interlude, you know, that was just way different than whatever I had going on before. And I'm like, ah, I need to do something with this. It was like Close Encounters building the mashed potatoes. I was like, this right. needs something. And that took days, you know what I mean, to start working out and getting the guitar to stay in tune. I hadn't used that guitar much, and it was just kind of old. And yeah, there you go. That's the amp. But I was getting these great clean tones out of it with the Verb, and it just made me change the whole bridge section. And then the bass ended up sounding funky because the bass went to the old part.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, and the bass was kind of doing the same thing. So I was like, shit, I need to come up with like a different bass line. I was woodshedding on that like all day yesterday, trying to come up with a different bass line. I landed on like a more reggae, because I was pretty high at that point. I landed on like a reggae thing, like right. a reggae kind of bass line. I was trying to like leave these pockets in there for the trippy beat that's going on and the
right.
interesting little sucky sounds that are coming up. That's kind of a Nine Inch Nails kind of thing. And the, you know,
right.
All that kind of shit going on. But it has a weird old, you know, creepy, goofy vibe. But I'm glad we ended up using that because I spent a long goddamn time.
Sure.
You know, work. People don't realize how much goes in to doing like some of the home recordings, or even when you're doing all the stuff yourself.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude, all of it. I mean, you worked tirelessly on the intro. Then I did Over the Break. I mean, while we're talking about Over the Break stuff,
right.
I rebuilt the whole website, you know, reset this the way the show, like a new studio more or less, or new studio look for the show.
Right.
Little more, I wasn't digging what we were doing. I just wasn't. I mean, it just felt old, you know, it right. felt more CMS than this show. So I wanted to try something different. So mm-hmm. I landed on this, which I think looks pretty cool. And I uniformed that all up and, you know, I redid all the graphics for the podcasts and the thumbnails for the videos and everything else, you know. But yeah,
it's a lot of work.
I think we spent the break just kind of making the show better, trying to anyway. You know,
yeah, we probably put equal time into you revamping the visuals and me tightening up the song that was already written, but it's just like. Sure. To go back and even capture the original vibe we had for this song 5 years ago, it's hard to kind of put yourself back into that. Also, when you try to recreate something you already did, sometimes it's like a Xerox copy.
Yeah, it's flat. Yeah.
It's a little off. Falls a little flat, you know. It's right. it's a risky thing to do. But you know, I ended up getting a good enough track, and Jay is delivering some good vocals for it. He had a good enough verse he had sent me, and this is great that we could even work this way, you know what I mean,
sure.
where he's out over at his place and can do vocals and then, you know, send it here and I could do the other stuff. The miking the amps has worked out very well. Like I mic'd up the Splawn, I mic'd up the Mahaffey amp that Tris had lent me, so right. the amp sound that you hear on here is a mix. It's a mix of both those heads, the Mahaffey and the Splawn,
right on
the new Splawn, but kind of together. Now I can't really get that loud in here. That was like those amps on barely one,
right?
You know, but ended up getting, you know, good heavy tone out of that. Bass. I'm not a bass player. I don't have the greatest bass. I do have a little mini Ampeg micro stack thing that I mic'd up, so it is a real bass. Amp. I do have the digital stuff, but I just for some reason just wanted to go all real amps on this track.
Sure.
And I think I like it. Honestly, yeah. I'm very like excited about the future of just writing songs and doing my own recordings and actually going with not trying to find somebody else's interpretation of what this amp's supposed to be, but actually having the amp there and to stick in a microphone.
No doubt. Well, dude, you want to play it for people one more time so they can hear it?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's do it right here. This is the brand new intro, complete with the video, I guess, of Chris Aiken Presents. So check it out.
The keys to your city, I scratch the surface down into your life. I see the signs that we're here for trouble. The hard road that we left behind, killing time on things that money can buy.
I like it.
Rocking. Yeah, I think people, after hearing it a few episodes, they'll start to become accustomed to hearing it and hopefully want to hear more of it. And if they like it, that'll be a little side thing, you know. We can fire up that project again.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, the thing I like about it, other than, I mean, obviously the guitar playing is cool, but what's your guy's name, the singer?
Jay.
That he's got a real Scott Weiland thing going on, man.
I thought so too. I thought I heard that too, like as it kind of where that fade kicks in. I hope he kind of goes with that styling.
Yeah, I like that. And Lord knows that's still a popular sound. It was a popular sound in the 90s. It's still a popular sound. That's a good sound. Yeah, well, I like it, man.
That was our generation of stuff. So hopefully, you know, people dig it and pick up on it. But it's definitely, as you said, it didn't take much to do something better than what was there.
Right on. it really didn't. But I don't want to diminish what you did because it is fantastic.
Thanks.
But yeah, you leapt over a very low bar.
Right, exactly. I just didn't know if I'd be able to actually get the recording done because I felt like I might have been talking out my butt. Since I moved in here, I've got all this new equipment but haven't really executed anything with it yet. Like at any kind of level that was needed to be expected of me for professional standards anyway. So I think we pulled it off, man. You did great with this new look. It's 2024.
Yeah, and we're off and running. We got guests upon guests. You know, some quick. I'll do my little 2 seconds real quick of over the break because I really didn't do a whole lot except for cater to sick people. Like everybody around me has COVID, so that's what I've been doing. Although I say that, but at the same time, I did write a new book. It's 99% done. I wrote it over the break about the career of AC/DC. That's going to be coming out in February. To the level that I already talked to the artist that took the photos for the cover art and everything. I mean, it's done. I have probably 2,000 words more to write. You know, I mean, very little to write, just some touch-ups and some stuff for that. So that will be coming in. I did that over the break. I kind of joined the team of Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop. I'm going to be doing a lot more working with them as far as providing some interview stuff. And in return, they're going to get us, Chris Aiken Presents, some much bigger interviews, which is good. So, you know, they're tied in at the higher end of the radio level. So since I'm going to be doing the interviews, I already put it out there that I want to use them for Chris Aiken Presents, and they can take clips of them and use them for Metal Shop. So we're going to be getting some much bigger guests for that. And other than that, man, I didn't do a ton. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do really Christmas. Didn't see my kids or nothing for Christmas. They were out with their mom. Didn't do shit for New Year's because everybody had COVID. So, you know, it was kind of quiet over here, man. What about for you, man? Did you go out? I mean,
Christmas was canceled. It was canceled because my mom ended up with, I don't know if it was COVID, but my parents were very sick. My mom had pneumonia.
That flu or whatever that's going on, pneumonia?
She literally had pneumonia in her lungs. And then my stepdad, sadly, he had to be hospitalized. Like the day before Christmas, and he just pretty much got out, and he's been home on IVs, and they got severely
like the
ill.
Double pneumonia, is that what it was? The double pneumonia?
Yeah, I mean, they ended up, my mom said they gave her prednisone, which finally like wiped it out of her okay. the last of it out of her lungs. So she actually looked good. We had a do-over Christmas last night that I went to, okay. and my mom looked great, and my stepdad was looking well also. My mom gifted me a full-size digital piano, which was there's a whole little
that on the beach.
Yeah. Oh man, this thing this thing is a monstrosity. Initially she had ordered this for my niece Madison, who's mm-hmm. in college, and what was talking to Nana about piano lessons or learning the piano. And so okay. my mom had this idea to go on Amazon and spend like $600 or something on this like huge digital
piano. Said, this one's the biggest, it must be the best.
Right, right. It's the biggest and the most expensive, so it's yeah. gotta be the one that she needs. And what ultimately ended up happening is Madison goes, Nana, that's I can't take that to my dorm. It's not, I mean, she's living in a house with like 11 people or something like that.
It's bigger than the bed that she has, probably.
Right, right. And so my mom's like, shit. So now here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
She contacts Amazon because she can't, my mom's trying to be honest, and she can't fill out online a reason to return it. Because okay. their reasonings are it's damaged, it's lost, something.
Not
what I ordered. And there wasn't a box for it doesn't fit in my granddaughter's dorm room. Wasn't right. one of the boxes. So, of course, my mother, who always says too much usually anyways, but calls the customer service, is talking to an Indian guy somewhere. And basically, she explains the whole thing to him. And he goes, please hold, ma'am. And then he comes back, Mrs. Ferrantino, we have great news for you. Go ahead and keep the piano. Your refund's on the way.
Wow.
And it was really bizarre, right? But there is like a weird loophole with like, not to be taken advantage of, but I've just seen mm-hmm. this before where usually it's cheap Chinese products or something.
Sure.
That it would rather just give it to you than have to like,
restock and all that other crap. Yeah, they can just, it's probably better for them to take the write off
right
than it is to try and restock it, and then they have to resell it as refurbed, and you know, there's
exactly it's just a loss, like okay, yeah. here you go.
They're and just like, don't send it back to us, just throw it in the garbage right. if you don't want it.
Pretty much, which is bizarre, right? I mean,
yeah.
But this thing, you know, I don't want to unplug myself here, but I think I could take this camera here. Hold on. Let me see. You guys, look at this.
Holy cow. That thing is big. Jesus.
Yeah. I actually got, here's the Fender Hot Rod Deluxe.
There you go.
There's the Mahaffey. There's my new Splon. That's my old Splon. That's my speaker cabinet. But anyways, yeah.
I see speaking of the Splon real quick, and then you can finish this up, but I see that they liked seeing you using their equipment. I saw them promoting, here's Eric Ferrantino's playing
That's
Splon
right.
amplification. I saw like a flyer or something that came through Facebook.
He was being so cool about it. Scott Splon, who hand builds these, and the guitars. I mean, everybody really go to the Splon website and take a look at the guitars that Scott makes. They're sure. very much like that, you know, a Charvel. They're a hot rodded Strat, mm-hmm. you know. His headstocks are really cool though. And he does some pretty cool relict kind of look on the guitars. But Splon guitars, check them out. But he was super stoked that I had the amps there. As am I. You know, because I wanted to sound good at the gig, and
sure.
you know, it was worth the investment of making sure I had the good amps, and I was able to stack two of them there. I got a lot of visual.
Well, don't share any of that yet. We'll get to right. we'll get to what you did there in a little bit,
but the
bottom
keyboard
line is I just saw that the Splon guy must have been really happy with you, because I saw the poster that came across that said Eric Ferrantino's plays Splon.
Right. And like, cool. I will be playing a lot more. I am like setting up to do a lot more video, because that's one thing that I've stayed away from, was doing all the guitar videos and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Cause I'm just like, I don't like looking all schlubby, you know, and filming that stuff, or I don't know. It's just not something I'm not a look at me guy. You know right. what I mean? But I realize right. it's part of the business, and people want to see that stuff, and I can do it for them. Sure. I just got a new tripod to set up and do it. And I think now that I have my amps set up, like this wall of amps here,
right?
I think that it works. You know, I could kind of promote the amps. They'll right. be in the background. It kind of works as a background.
Sure.
For me. So you'll be seeing more guitar videos. But yeah, I lugged this, the piano, back to the piano. I lugged this thing up. Now with Amazon, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. She got a full refund. My mom got a full nice. Refund on this. And then she had this thing sitting there, and she's like, can you use it? And I wasn't going to say no. I mean, I like it, because I do like to play piano. For the people that have heard Stephen Piercy Smash, like, I play piano on the song Rain. You know, I wrote this whole piano sure. stuff, and I'm actually naturally good at piano, and it's a shame that I didn't like keep playing. And it is cool, as my mom, you know, thought it would be, to have a 88 keys, a full size right. keyboard to actually play for real. And it's like Bill Murray Groundhog Day. Like, if we're here 80 years, you have plenty of time to learn how to play piano enough to entertain people at a party for Christmas, or
right,
you know, whatever, you know what I mean. So I do want to like evolve a little and kind of, hey, learn some tunes, learn some Billy Joel songs here,
right?
You had to be a big shot, did ya?
Was that Count Crackula singing Billy Joel?
I'll sing it to Susan. I'm moving out. This thing's huge, but this is now a desk that's closer to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I know that you did over the holiday, dude, was cooked a lot. Every time I turned around or texted you, you were like, you weren't like, normally you're like quick on the text, but you were always like, sure. Oh, I'm busy, I'm fucking cooking, or, you know, every time I turned around, you were cooking. So what's up with that?
It started with the holidays. You know, we had Susan's son, Aiden, came out, and we wanted to make sure that we had, you know, plenty of great food for him, that Christmas at least wasn't going to be ruined for him.
Right.
And I had gone out, obviously I'd went to Costco. I got the awesome tree. We've talked about that. We've shown pictures of that. So it looked all Christmassy when he got here. And then for food, we had got, this prime rib, like this awesome prime rib that we crock potted. I did, mashed potatoes with that. We also ended up doing a ham. We had a full ham, a spiral cut ham that we did that was amazing. Now, once you have the ham, there's like a ham bone that you can make soups with. Like, the best soup you could do is a split pea soup
okay.
with the ham bone of a spiral cut ham. And wow, I mean, I've really hit home runs with like some of the soups I've done. Like, my split pea soup was definitely, I just had the right combo of whatever, carrots, onions, and ham, and, you know, the peas, whatever I did, it worked. It was amazing.
Right.
And it made so much. I mean, honestly, like, people should make more soups like the Depression era. You know, your money would go so much further, and it's delicious, you know, but for like less than $20, you could make this cauldron of, you know, soup that's like meals for weeks.
Right.
You know? So did that. Then ended up doing an amazing chicken soup that was just like the thickest soup you've ever seen as far as shit that's in it.
Right.
Which I should have given you some photos of that. But yeah, my cooking was out of control. But it takes up a lot of time.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, especially you're doing everything from scratch. And, you know, as the listeners know, my girl Susan broke her knee, so she's not able to cook, and she kind of, to survive, needs me.
Right.
She'll starve to death. She will literally starve to death. So I have other obligations. I mean, I'm expected to work on themes for shows. I mean, I play in, you know, Stephen Piercy's band that requires, you know, top notch guitar playing, and
sure.
I never have time to play, you know? And, in fact, you know, just this past week, I really was like, oh, man, I have to practice. Well, you know, I think you have a video, right?
I do.
That you want to show. Okay, yeah, well, let's just show the video. Man, I gotta practice, but I'm supposed to make dinner. Oh. Hello, Siri, Eric, Ferentinos, how you doing? I was hoping to catch Stoic Steve. Is he in tonight? Yes, I'll hold. Steve, how you doing, bud? Listen, I got to practice, and I also have to make dinner, and I won't have time to do both. So I was going to see how your schedule was, if you could come over. Have everything you need. It's Italian night, so we have manicottis. If you know how to do stuffed manicottis, that'd be awesome. All right, bud. As soon as you can get over here, that'd be great. The sooner the better. Thanks. All right. Great. He's on his way. Hey, babe. I have to practice for a bit. I called Stoic Steve up to cook for us tonight. Is that cool? I hope. Well, I just don't have time to do both, so Steve's coming over. He's going to cook for us tonight. Okay. Cool. I have everything set up for him, so this will work. Oh, I think he's here. Steve, what's up, bro? Thanks for coming by in a pinch, buddy. Everything's in the kitchen for you, man. Just treat it like it's your own, and thanks for saving Italian night. I'll make the stuffed manicotti and I'll pair it with some spicy meatballs.
Well, there you have it. Stoic Steve stepping in for you, man. Taking over your... I didn't realize that Stoic Steve was available for house duty as well as... I thought it was only professional things. I would have expected him to be playing the guitar, not doing the cooking at the house, man.
Yeah, it's, I think his only limitations are he does no harm.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. He won't commit any crimes or hurt anyone. But pretty much anything else that you can hire him for, he'll do. And for me, I want to keep up the quality of cooking that I had going. And
right.
I had all the stuff, you know, to make manicotti, which it was amazing that he was able to come in and actually pull that off.
And just put it right together. Dude, how much have you used Steve for cooking before that you knew he could cook?
That was the first time I just had noticed it on his website. It had said something about cooking. I saw that he had cooked at some point, so I knew he was capable of it. Right. And it just came to me as I was playing, because I was just in the middle, and I was like, there needs to be two of me, because I got to do this right now, but she's going to starve to death. What do I do? And I was, no, of course. You know, and it was well worth it. It didn't take too much time. I only had to hire him for about 2 hours.
Okay.
To complete that. And then he left, and, you know, but what a meal he left us with. Did you see at the end?
I saw.
The plate he left for us?
Looked fantastic. I was like, man, I need to get Stoic Steve a plane ticket.
Yeah.
Got to get him out here to cook for me.
I mean, that video kind of shot through what was involved with what he did. But have you ever had stuffed manicottis before?
I have. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they are. A lot went into that. But I was impressed. They were delicious. We had leftovers.
And I'm going to assume that the biggest home run out of the whole thing was it did leave you the time to practice so that you could go out and absolutely kill it, as we will talk about in a little bit, at the at the show at the Whiskey.
Well worth it. Well worth it.
Absolutely. Well, dude, why don't we do this? Let's take a little break, pay the bills, so to speak, and we will be back with the great Ron Keel. Ron has 950,000 projects going on. Right. We'll catch up with Ron. We'll see what all is going on in the world of Ron Keel and Keel World and
real quick,
Media. Go ahead.
Let me remind everyone that back in, I believe it was like 1990,
yeah,
the first show I ever played in my life was at the Bacchanal, also known as the Butt Canal Club in San Diego, opening for Ron Keel's Fair Game, which
oh,
was
wow, all, Fair Game,
yeah, it was an all-female band that he had that he was touring around with, and this would be the first time that I would go on stage in a professional environment where tickets were sold for something.
Nice.
And it was I'll never forget it, you know, but so Ron Keel always has a special place in my heart just based off that alone.
Sure. How was the gig for you as far as you guys? Did you play well or did you feel
we
like
did
you
play
sucked?
Well? We did play well. I mean, the gigs I played after that, I had some bad things happen, but this one I didn't, and everything went off as planned. It was just a short set opening up, and the crowd loved us. It was on video somewhere. I might have it. Great times, and that would kick it off. And to me, I said to myself, if I go up there and don't get stage fright, I know that I'm on the right path.
Right.
And I'm going to keep doing this. And sure enough, I got through the show, and all that anxiety left me finally afterwards. And, you know, here we are, 30.
Here we are.
5 years later.
Exactly. Well, dude, let's go ahead. We'll play a quick spot, and then we will be back with Ron Keel, and then you and I will be back, and we'll talk about what I'm most curious about, how the gig went over the Whiskey, and what's in store for 2024 with you and with the Piercy Band, because from what I've heard in rumor, there's a lot of good stuff coming, a lot of stuff that I hope lands here in Cleveland. But we will see if that happens or not, and maybe you have the answer to that. I don't know. But for now, Ron Keel coming up next. It is Chris Akin Presents.
Do you want to watch the classic metal show all day long? Do you have a Roku? If your answers are yes and yes, then you need to get Wowza TV on your Roku. It's free to install and brings you the classic metal show on your TV 24/7. Just look up and install Wowza TV in the Roku streaming store, and you can enjoy the CMS all day and night right on your TV. Yes, folks, this includes the live editions of the CMS as well. Install Wowza TV now on your Roku and never be without the classic metal show again. Hail and Kill.